from somewhere outside of Kigali, Rwanda, the Republic of Rwanda. You might hear a party going on behind me. Actually, the party's quite far away, but sound travels in this part of the world. I think I'm in the easternmost province or region of Rwanda. So that means that Tanzania is just down the road. I think 50 or 100 kilometers, not really sure. I'm not going that way. I'm far enough. I'm in this, it's a hotel technically, but it's not any hotel, maybe perhaps as you might imagine it. It's like a series of bungalows that go on for a really, really long time. So it's like a small town. This hotel is a small town. And I'm doing some work that I'll remain vague about because that's part of the work. But I'm teaching and it's all journalism related. And it's been a week here. And it's a fascinating experience. It's now my third time in this region. And by region, I mean East Africa. Oh, by the way, Mark Fonseca Rendeiro. That's me, Bicycle Mark, more commonly known as. And this is a podcast. This is Citizen Reporter, the podcast that has been around since 2004. And I say that to myself sometimes because I forget, because when I look at the world of podcasting, I go, what? what happened? How did this happen? And was I really there at the beginning? Does it even matter? I don't know. But I do know what matters. Right now, I'm in Rwanda. I'm very excited about that. I have been excited about that throughout much of the week. Although teaching and sort of having a long day and some pretty long nights preparing further material based on the day is really exhausting. So I have not seen much of Rwanda, but I will have time to do some looking around for the next more or less 2 days here. And it's very likely that I'll be back, so I'm not worried about that. You know, other than the music in the background, which is pretty cool, you know, I dig it. It's at the pool, actually. Yes, there's a pool somewhere way down in this complex. I swim every day to try to counter the effects of standing and sitting in a classroom all day. It's impressive. You know, if I look up, I'm looking up right now, there are so many stars. I have never seen this many stars. You might be thinking, Mark, do you not go camping? The answer is pretty much no. Although as a Frisbee, ultimate Frisbee player, you are required in the end to camp. But I have tried very hard to do it very rarely. But anyway, if I look up, the number of stars is incredible. Orion's Belt is looking right at me, twinkling. And a bunch of the other things, I don't know my... a couple of dippers. I think a Big Dipper. There's a Big Dipper. And a Little Dipper. I think that's still a thing. And then a bunch of other things. Maybe one of those mythological... they're all mythological. Anyway, stars. Many stars. I'm standing in a very big green area. I think that for the hotel people, this is like their beautiful green space to be enjoyed, but actually nobody comes over here. So I'm way outside where anyone would notice me walking around with my Mic Me microphone. Hello, Mic Me people. It's a wonderful little digital recorder that's now been to Uganda with me. It's been to Kenya. It's been to Japan twice. It's been to the United States many times. So I'm making much of my podcasting using a Mic Me and enjoying it. It's so portable. And for those of you that travel to countries where sometimes things can be scrutinized when you cross borders, I guess that's everywhere now, but no one ever is worried about what this little Mic Me is. I can't say the same for my Tascam DR40. As good of a quality recorder as it is, it's big, it's threatening looking, and say nothing of the Rode microphones, shotgun mics, the name itself raises suspicion. So the Mic Me is a great little product, and you know, it costs something, but it's worth it. It's been carefully crafted. So enough about them, though I can always go on. Rwanda. You know, it's a weird thing. Some of you, if I say I'm in Rwanda, you have some knowledge because of a personal experience here. Perhaps you keep up with East African news. I believe the tagline, you know, countries have taglines, right? Like, sometimes states have, you know, like, their slogans. Of course, they all do. But countries also, I think, have some of these. I don't think the United States has a tagline. It might have been recently changed to United States, it's huge. It's an administration joke. Anyway, I believe that Rwanda's slogan is the heart of Africa. I think so. That's pretty bold, but they are kind of central, kind of. But it's great here. Oh, so the reason I was saying some people think, oh, Rwanda, and they have a picture in their head, I kind of, for a moment, forgot that many people lump Rwanda in with any place where there's war or where people are very poor. I mean, the poor part, I'm sure there are regions, areas, people, but I think one thing that is not well known, maybe because also, you know, the Rwandan genocide is something that's known, and it wasn't that long ago. It was about a little over 1990s, so early 90s. So I remember the early 90s, so that amazes me, because it's like, wow, I was alive when people were killing each other here. I don't know if it was at this hotel. I'm going to hope not. But hey, it's entirely possible, and that is life, really. We tread on the same paths that others before us have, and some of those others were not kind to one another and did things, wars and such. So anyway, some people think of that, but of course, Rwanda nowadays is not a country killing itself or even a mess of a place. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's a extremely well-organized place. I'm not saying it's Switzerland, but it could claim the title of Switzerland of East Africa. Not maybe because of the money, but yes, because of some kind of dedication to being organized. For example, as I look up over there's a green hedge, kind of a wall, and I see streetlights, and they're all uniform, all the same, all LED, and they go on forever. You know, at some point, this country invested heavily in infrastructure. The roads are extremely clean. I rode here in a taxi from Kigali a week ago, and it took so long, and it's a really, really nice looking road, but it took, you know, what should have been on a regular road in any country should have been a half an hour drive, maybe, took an hour here. It took an hour and a half. That is because the speed limit is 40. And not only is the speed limit 40, but no one would dare disobey it because they're scared to get a ticket. Now, you may know something about Rwanda. You may know that they have a president, he who shall remain nameless as far as I'm concerned right now. But he has been in power for, where are we at, fans of Rwanda? 20 years? It's been a while. It's been a minute. Probably since the bad days. And he rules, not with an iron fist, but it is hard to be against him. And so there's the concept of benevolent, dare I say the word, dictator. Pardon me, those of you who voted for this gentleman many times. But he has that reputation, right, of being someone who doesn't leave power or finds a way to win again. But he invests in the country. So there's a quality of life here that is ahead of its neighbors, basically. And it's interesting, you know, who are the neighbors? Uganda, he just closed the border with them over some kind of political disagreement. Congo, you know, a place where even today there was an attack between armed groups, and the country itself isn't isn't the most stable country. And there it is, Burundi, to the south, itself a place with some major both political and armed struggle. Am I missing anyone? Oh, Tanzania. Okay, Tanzania, I think, can claim some status of stability, but can't match what's going on here. Of course, this is a smaller country. Tanzania would be a big country. Look, you probably know more about East Africa than I do, but I've really done some catching up over the last couple of years. It's fascinating. You know, people are so kind. I can't say that enough. I used to think that I would stick out in these parts of the world. I would just stick out so much that it would be uncomfortable and not pleasant. And of course, yes, I stick out, but actually there's a way that you're received and treated that is wonderful. And I'm happy to reciprocate as well. I'm like, you know, everywhere I look, this complex has some workers, like a chef or a waiter or a maintenance person, and I see them all the time, and I always wave at them. We talk briefly, like good morning. Like sometimes they don't have a lot of words to use, but everybody, you know, greets me, but also like enjoys being greeted. I can tell like they enjoy it, and there's something about it. You know, a friend of mine was telling me, who's from the region, he said, this is a country that really protects its foreigners. And no matter what kind of foreigner you are, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a rich foreigner, a poor foreigner, you protect your foreigners. And it's an interesting thing. Now, is that absolutely true? Is that just a stereotype? All I can say is I feel quite cared for. And I know the difference in when you're in a place that you're not really necessarily cared for, or you're seen more as a target, the cash cow that'll keep paying out. So it's different here, and it's interesting, and I don't know all the reasons why, but I am keen to learn. Don't know that I'll get to talk to anyone that can really tell me, but if I can, I'll bring their voices forward. I think this is more of an exploratory trip. I'll have to come back to do bigger interviews. But yeah, it's great. I wonder if the soundtrack is doing you any good wherever you are. I like Rwanda. Let's keep it at that. And that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. It's been an interesting week. I had a moment today that I did want to share with you. That is one of these I have plenty of moments in my life, especially let's say the last decade. Like, I teach a lot, right? I teach both in the Netherlands and I teach abroad, and I would not be exaggerating if I said I often absolutely hate teaching. I mean, often. Why, Mark? Why would you absolutely hate teaching? Well, because I often get students who do not care. Or if they do care, they are completely unable to show it, express it, and I see no evidence of it. And so I find myself putting all this energy and trying and adjusting and just trying so hard to reach people, and them not meeting me even a quarter of the way. Them looking at me like, hey, strange man, stop it with your enthusiasm. Let's just get this over with. What's on the exam? I hate all this. It makes me hate teaching. Now, that said, here I am teaching people who are eager, who are thankful, who don't have much resource-wise. Not to say they're not completely poor, but they don't have much. And I had a moment today. I was here at this field, this big green field with trees and a few hedges and so many birds during the day. They're scary because they're very aggressive. And the falcons, oh my God, falcons land over here. And we needed material. Like, we needed a few written material that provides some instruction, some information. And, you know, normally you'd get that, off of a virtual system or someone's hard drive or something. And I have this little Raspberry Pi that I've made into a Moodle box, which is Moodle is the online education system. You might have used it in your life. Well, there's a version that functions on the tiny little Raspberry Pi, which I have in my pocket. And I could plug it in. There is electricity here. But over here in the field, all I have to do is put a little USB cable into an external battery that you might charge your mobile phone with when you're on the go. And I've got a virtual classroom that anybody can log into as long as they have a phone. So all these people, my students, they all have phones. They don't have computers, but they have phones. And they all log in while we're standing here in a field, and they grab the reading material and we start discussing it. And there's a video at some point that I had uploaded somewhere previously, and it's on the system, and they watch the video and we talk about it. We walk. Sometimes they sit on the ground, on the grass. They like to sit against trees. I'm a little more reluctant. You know, I'm always like, what insects are those? Wait, what's happening? But they're much more comfortable. And I just had this moment where I thought, I'm in Rwanda. I'm a teacher. I know what I'm teaching. I'm a journalist after all. I make it accessible. You know, I've built this tool to some extent myself, of course, with the help of many open source volunteers. And it was just one of those moments where I thought, all right, mental note, this is great. And if you had told me I'd be doing this 30 years ago, or I was 9 years old, I probably wouldn't have believed anything. But it's just amazing. It's amazing how it happens. I'm humbled, and I'm trying to remember to be very pleased, because it is very pleasing. And so it was a great moment today. Maybe it was because it had rained hard for 12 or so hours. Crazy hard rain on tin roofs is very scary. But then it all went away, and the sun came out, and the music started, and we had class, and people are learning, and they're making connections, and they acknowledge it, you know, and they smile and they say, like, I get it. Yes, this makes sense to me, and I think I can do something with it. Good feeling today. Like, yeah. And there are only a handful of times that I can say I've had this feeling. You know, I think for those of you that were with me for like the Dubai Taxi project, at some point driving around asking questions about life, it struck me, this is great. This is what I love to do. And in the end, I mean, I'm a podcaster. I don't care what happens with the mainstreaming of podcasting. This is actually who I am. This is what I love. It's just the world is a complicated place. Life is a complicated thing. I am a complicated person. So I can't always fall back on podcasting when it comes to money, when it comes to maybe even satisfaction. But still, it hits. It hits when I do this, but it also hits sometimes when I teach. And did I have to come to Rwanda for that to happen? Maybe yes. Certainly worked this time. Can I never be satisfied in Amsterdam as a teacher? Nah, sometimes you can. But it is something about our world that I'm including myself, some of my students, not the ones here, but the ones back in Amsterdam, we take things for granted. You know, they're just there, right? Aren't they always going to be there? Isn't that guy paid to be enthusiastic? Isn't that why? And then there are people who don't take things for granted, and there's quite a difference, I think. And I'm trying not to take this for granted. And I'm not saying this is a gift. I worked for this. I made decisions for this. This didn't just fall on me. I followed a certain path. But still, I'm pleased. Yeah. And in a week or so, maybe I'll be annoyed at something. I always am. But I want to, and it's great that I'm recording it, I guess, but I want to remember this day, and I'm happy to remember this moment, and I'm even happy to share it with you, my audience, the few, the proud, that have stayed with CTRP over the years, and I hope that the soundtrack in the background doesn't diminish that message or that feeling at all. It doesn't for me. The students are having beers. I'm skipping that. I'm going to rest. I'm going to lay down. Something I don't get to do a lot these days. And I'm actually going to prepare just a little more work for them before we say goodbye. There you have it, right? There you have it. The Rwanda story. I hope all is well where you are. All is well wherever you are. I know there's plenty to complain about in this world, and many will do so, and we have the forums where you can do it as well, but I'm also just, I'm not saying you need to be all cheery and irritatingly, what's it called, social media positive, but that's me today. That's me today. I'm in my right place, and my right place happens to be a town which will remain nameless in Rwanda. So who knows, this might be the only podcast from Rwanda for now, but I have a feeling I'll be back, and I highly recommend coming here. Yeah, don't miss out. Rwanda, heart of Africa, waiting for you. Bicycle Mark, signing off. Anything I need to tell you? Oh, there's a new podcast project. I'll promote it here, and I'll I might put the first episode in. It's called Ice Ice Podcast. It stands for I Can Explain, I Can't Explain. Myself, Isaac, we talk about these films from a certain era in our life that we absolutely love, quote every line, and not everybody understands why. Matter of fact, some people feel the exact opposite, like it's terrible, these are terrible films. So the question is, you know, how is it there are these things that we like that we can't explain? Or maybe there are these things in life that we like that we can explain. We're going to try. And so the podcast is Ice Ice Podcast. Should be available in all your podcast stores starting, where are we? Starting April 1st? Yeah. And we've already got a few episodes in the can. And even if you didn't see any of the films, it's just me and Isaac discussing why we like it. Yes, we quote lines and we're big nerds and we're proud of it. So that's a project to be promoted, and I think I'll stop there. My friends, thanks for listening. In this world of podcasts that have ads and have all these whistles and bells, long live the podcast of a person holding a microphone standing somewhere like an open field in somewhere outside of Kigali. All right, Bicycle Mark signing off. Take care. See ya!